السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. مے دا پیس اینڈ بلیسنگز آف اللہ بی اپون یو آل. وی ہیو گیدرڈ ہیئر ٹو ڈے ٹو ڈسکس دا ٹاپک بلیسنگز آف فاسٹنگ ان اسلام. To study this topic, we will look at various narrations of Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, so that we can understand this topic better. So this is the first hadith where Allah's Messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he says, fasting is a shield or a screen or a shelter. So the person observing fasting should avoid sexual relation with his wife and should not behave foolishly and impudently. And if somebody fights with him or abuses him, he should tell him twice, I am fasting, I am fasting. So this is, you know, one very well-known hadith. And it describes the blessings and the purpose of fasting as well to some degree. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, says, fasting is a shield. A shield. What do we use shield for? The shield is, as it is explained in the parentheses, in the brackets as well, that it is a form of a screen. It is a form of a shelter that stops harmful things from entering you or wherever. Whatever is shielded is being protected from the harms around it. When you go to the battle and you hold your sword and your shield, the shield is to protect you from the attacks of your opponents. But similarly, when you install a mesh door, which you also call a screen, in front of your, you know, by your door, by your windows, it is so that the mosquitoes and other bugs do not get in. It is to protect against some kind of harm, some kind of danger. That's what this is for. And that's what the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, says, that fasting is a shield. It is to protect you from certain types of, from many social, spiritual ills and harms that are around you. So the Prophet says, so the person observing fasting should avoid sexual relation with his spouse and should not behave foolishly and impudently. And if somebody fights him or abuses him, he should tell him twice, I am fasting, I am fasting. So this is a time when, you know, Allah the Almighty asks us not to eat any food or drink any water, juice or anything, or even other things. Like, for example, food and water in normal times are allowed. But in the time of fasting, while you're fasting, Allah says, do not take of this. And similarly, with physical relations with our spouses are allowed in normal times. But while we're fasting, Allah says, stay away from it. And this is to teach you something. This is to protect you from certain types of ills and harms in the society so that you learn certain discipline. So that is what fasting is for. And normally a person, when somebody, you know, says verbally abuses him, physically abuses him, a person who normally might lose his calm in the month of fasting, because he is fasting and the impact fasting has on him, he wants to avoid any type of conflict. And he says, the Prophet teaches him, he says that one should, if somebody tries to abuse you, you say, I am fasting, meaning I don't want to get into any disputes or fights. This is what fasting is. It is a shield. It protects you. It protects you for a short while you're fasting. But the disciplines you learn while fasting, they last you, not just for that time, but for the time to come as well, as long as you maintain that discipline. There are quite a few guests with us in our meeting as well. So just to explain how Muslims observe fasting, I will explain it very quickly. So we are in the month of Ramadan. Ramadan started about 4 days ago. Today we completed our fourth fast. So what that means is that when Muslims, we observe fasting, we start fasting in the morning, way before sunrise, about an hour and a half, 70 to 80 minutes before sunrise. So that means if the sun comes up at 6:30 or 7 o'clock, we start fasting close to 5 o'clock. And from that point, we take some food, some water. After that, we do not take any food, any water for the rest of the day until the sun has set. So as soon as the sun sets, For us, that is around 6:15, 6:16, around that time. At that time, we are allowed to take water. We're allowed to take food or anything else that is permissible. So this is how Muslims observe fasting. And fasting is not just that we do not eat or drink, but rather it is so that we reflect on our spiritual health and we try to improve our actions, engage ourselves in good things instead of bad things, and try to become better humans, better Muslims. This is what fasting is. So as described in this narration of Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, fasting is a shield. It is there to protect you against different types of harms. Now, next hadith is also very important. It explains more on this topic of blessings. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "By him in whose hands my soul is, the smell coming out from the mouth of a fasting person is better in the sight of Allah than the smell of musk." Allah says about the fasting person that he has left his food, drink, and desires for my sake. The fast is for me, so I will be the reward for it. Or I will reward him for it, and the reward of good deeds is multiplied 10 times. Now again, this hadith speaks about different blessings, different aspects of fasting. One of those aspects is, Allah says that the smell coming out from the mouth of a fasting person. We know that when we haven't eaten in a very long time, certain smell is generated from our stomach or from our mouth. And when somebody, we're close to somebody, they might smell that not so pleasant, that unpleasant smell on us. So that should not be a hindrance to somebody who's fasting, that this is, Allah says, that smell that comes for you, that you're doing it for me, that you're fasting for me and you have not eaten anything, drank any water for a long time because of me, that smell is more dearer to me than the smell of musk. As Allah said in the other word, in the verse of the Holy Quran as well, that if you are fasting, if you fast, it is good for you only if you knew. And the same thing Allah says here, that smell, you might not be able to understand or others might not be able to understand, but the fact that the reason that it is there, it's you are doing it for my sake, for that reason, I am pleased with it. And to me, it is more dear than anything else. So that is regarding the smell. But then Allah says, the fast is for me. The fast is for me. You see, Allah has given us, God has given us many commands to observe, to follow. For example, there is worship, there is prayer, there is charity, there is, you know, helping each other and all these small different tasks. Allah says, those deeds are for you, for yourself. Those deeds are for you, for yourself. For example, if you help others, others will help you. There is a benefit you see from it, even if that is not your intention, but you receive some type of reward living in this world from the people around you. Similarly, with all these other tasks, Allah says that they are for you. For example, even if you pray, if you offer your 5 daily prayers and others are seeing that this person prays, that kind of creates a sense of respect in their hearts and minds, because this person is offering prayers, so he must be a very spiritual person. But Allah says, fasting is for me. Fasting is for me, meaning for God Almighty. Because you're not fasting only when you're in front of people. You start fasting way early in the middle of the night, basically at 4:30, 5 o'clock, you take a meal and you start fasting. And you're not eating anything for the day. For parts of that day, you might be with people. But for much of that part, you might be by yourself. If you go and take a sip of water, if you go or take a little morsel of food or something, and that moment, you and Allah are alone, meaning Allah is the only one watching you at that time. God is the only one watching you at that time, but you do not do that. You do not indulge in that. And that is what Allah the Almighty says, that you did, the fasting is one thing that you do for my sake, meaning for God's sake, that you do it only and only for God's pleasure, because God has asked you to do it, and you do it even in secrecy, even when no person is watching you. Then lastly, or another point to keep in mind in this hadith, God Almighty says that I will be the reward for it. That you fast and the reward of your fasting will be I am the reward for it. So there are, all these things that we do, different forms of worship, or the reason that we believe in a religion any religion, it's because it guides us to God Almighty. That is the purpose of believing in religion. We practice any faith because we believe it takes us closer to God Almighty. If it does not, we do not follow that religion. Or as soon we realize that this is not guiding me, we try to look for a different path, a different avenue that can get us to our destination, that is gaining the pleasure of Allah, nearness of Allah, love of Allah. So Allah the Almighty tells us here that when you fast, I am the reward for it. So there are few types of worships, and fasting is one of them, regarding which Prophet, which Allah the Almighty has said that I become the reward for it. So what we're trying to achieve all our lives, fasting gives us that, major push in attaining the pleasure of Allah, nearness of Allah. And if we truly, truly want to attain the love of Allah, nearness of Allah, then fasting is necessary for us. You look at the books of history, look at scriptures, look at, read the stories of Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. He goes away from his people in seclusion so that he can observe fast, worship God Almighty and observe fasting. Similarly, you look at Prophet Jesus, alayhi salam, regarding him, it is mentioned that he went into the wild, away from the world, and for 40 days he did not eat or drink anything. He's fasting. I mean, how it is portrayed in the scripture sometimes, because of the lack of understanding of the people around sometimes, one might not understand today that why they were fasting. But the reason they were fasting was because they knew that to draw closer to Allah the Almighty, they have to go and fast. You look at Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, regularly, even before he was appointed as a prophet of God, he would go away from the town of Mecca, from the people of Mecca, into the cave, away from everybody, and worship God Almighty in seclusion, because he wanted to find God at a more personal level, right? And that is what he knew, that fasting is something that can guide him. You can go back and read the lives of prophets like Prophet Buddha that were before all these prophets. And even him, you find that he used to be fasting in his time as well. So every religion teaches us to fast, but earlier prophets, you find them, all prophets, promised Messiah, alayhi salam, the founder of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, regarding him, it is mentioned that for about 6 long months, he continued to observe fast on a daily basis, quietly, in seclusion, not indulging, not engaging too much with public or as little as possible, just cutting himself away so that he can worship God at that level. So prophets do that at a much greater extent than what is expected from us, rather, because Allah wants them to reach such a point that they can become lamps, they can become light, they can become nur for everybody else to guide them towards something that Allah wants them to be guided towards. So their case is a little different, but Allah says that fasting is good for you if you only knew. And in this hadith, in this narration, Allah the Almighty says through Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that I will be there for it. That when you fast, I will be the reward for it. So if we want to find Allah, if we want to gain nearness to Allah the Almighty, then fasting is essential. And that is what is described in this hadith. In another narration, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "He who observes fast for a day in the way of Allah, he would remove his face, Allah would remove his face from the hell to the extent of 70 years distance." What that means is that fasting, where it elevates us spiritually, it brings us away from torment, from punishment, and from hellfire in many different ways. Meaning, just a little sacrifice we make in the way of Allah the Almighty, the further Allah pulls us away from hell and from other sinful things that we might have committed. And instead of punishing us for, Allah forgives us and removes us from hell, as it is explained, the extent of 70 years distance. There is more that we can look into this hadith, the one that I've just read out with the 70 years distance, but we might go away from the topic at hand. That was just I'll touch upon it briefly. Allah's Prophet Muhammad, peace, that you would be removed from the hell to the extent of 70 years distance. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, is telling the distance, not in kilometers, not in miles, not in any other measure as we normally use to describe a distance, but he is describing it in years' time, 70 years' time. So that is something interesting, and more, you know, if we can look into it more, that what meanings that, you know, can be understood from this little narration when we talk about afterlife, when we talk about the next world, because that is completely different from this world, in which we say that we are confined in time and space. But how the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, describing the next world, explains it in a very different way in this narration. As I said, I mean, there are explanations of it in different places in scriptures. But then at the same time, if we are to go into it now, it would take us away from our core subject today. The next hadith, the next narration, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is a gate in paradise called Ar-Rayyan, and those who observe fast will enter through it on the day of resurrection, and none except them will enter through it. It will be said, where are those who used to observe fasts? They get up, and none except them will enter through it. After their entry, the gate will be closed and nobody will enter through it. So that is again another hadith on the blessings of fasting, on the merits, the virtue of fasting, that is. In different narrations, it is explained that on the day of judgment, Allah the Almighty, you know, there will be eight gates to heaven. To enter paradise, there will be eight different gates, and each gate will represent a different virtue, different quality, different attribute, or different good attribute that we may possess in this world. And if we possess, and it, you know, this, what Allah has assigned that gate to, then we would be invited through that gate to enter paradise. And somebody who has all those virtues, or some of those virtues, would be invited from each of those doors that he possesses, that virtue that he possesses, and he would be able to enter from that door. And fasting is you know, holds that distinction, that it is just on its own, it is one of those gates regarding which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that if somebody observes fasting, Allah the Almighty on that day, or the angels of Allah on that day, will ask that who observes fast, and those who observe fast with their conditions, meaning all the, you know, in the proper sense, not that they are fasting, but then they are also doing all these foul things in the world, abusing people, cursing people, and you know, like different things that Allah has forbidden, and they're indulging in those things. That is not observing of fasting. Observing of fasting means observing it with all its conditions. Such people would be invited to enter through this gate, through this door called Ar-Rayyan, and that is exclusively for those who observe fasting. So again, this hadith goes to show the merit of fasting. The next hadith now, in this, a companion asks the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. He says, O Messenger of Allah, tell me of something by which Allah will benefit me, will benefit me. He said, the Prophet said, take to fasting. There is nothing like it. So this hadith again, a man just comes and asks only one question. He says, tell me something that will benefit me. One thing that will benefit me. And Prophet, peace be upon him, says, take to fasting. Prophet probably knew him to some degree, that he possesses this and this and this good already. If he observes fasting, it can take him to higher spiritual ranks, higher spiritual level. But the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, just says one thing. He says, take to fasting. You're talking about what will benefit you? Take to fasting, for there is nothing like it. And then this goes back to the same verse of the Holy Quran, which I quoted in the beginning, وَأَن تَصُومُوا, that, and fasting is good for you if you only knew. That if you only knew, fasting is good for you. And the same thing the Prophet, peace be upon him, is repeating here. If you, that you want to know that what will benefit you from Allah, start fasting. It will start to benefit you like nothing else benefits you. It brings you closer to Allah. It will give you spiritual benefits. It will give you physical benefits. It will give you all sorts of benefits if you observe it for the sake of Allah. So these are just a few hadith on this subject. Now, the last hadith, it is a little bit on a more about fasting, how it helps us with controlling our physical or sexual desires. And regarding this, fasting also plays a very important role. We might not have the time to go into detail in this today, but inshallah at another time we will look into it. But let's take a look as much time permits. Hazrat Alqama, one companion, he narrated that while I was walking with Hazrat Abdullah, a companion. The first one is not a companion, he's just a scholar who came after the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and he's with a companion. And the companion who spent time in the company of Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is telling the incidents or stories. So he said, Hazrat Abdullah, he said, we were in the company of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and he said, he who can afford to marry should marry, because it will help him refrain from looking at other women and save his private parts from committing illegal sexual relation. And he who cannot afford to marry is advised to fast, as fasting will diminish his sexual power or sexual desire. Now, first thing, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, says that Muslims should get married. One should not remain out of marriage for no reason when they reach a certain age of maturity. Because if they do so, Allah the Almighty has created our body in such a way that we have certain tendencies, certain desires. And when those desires cannot be fulfilled, those start to affect our spirituality as well. So the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, advised Muslims that they should marry when that time comes, because it will help him or them refrain from looking at other women. Particularly speaking, addressing the men, company of men here. So he's speaking to them that it will help them refrain from looking at other women. And this is a huge issue, because much of the, problems in the society come from this particular problem, that men who are men and women, they do not get married. So there is no contract between them to stay together. So they start to have multiple affairs in a very quickly, one after the other, an affair one after the other. And it does not just destroy them spiritually, it destroys them emotionally, socially, in every way. And that is what Allah the Almighty says, or Islam teaches, that one who can afford to marry should marry, because it will help him refrain from looking at other women and save his private parts from committing illegal sexual relations. The society that we live in today, unfortunately, illicit relationships is a very norm. It's considered not even a sin, even though people would be going to the church, yet indulging in this thing as if it has nothing to do with what the scriptures teach us. So this is highly unfortunate, extremely unfortunate. Islam does not allow this type of behavior whatsoever. Islam says that you should find a suitable partner and get married. But if you, while you're waiting, while you cannot get that partner, while you're looking, you should observe fast so that you're able to protect yourself. What does Prophet say about that? He says, he who cannot marry is advised to fast, as fasting will diminish his sexual desire or sexual power. Meaning that the desires that, this is important to understand. Allah the Almighty has created our body in a way that we have certain chemicals that are produced inside our body, these hormones that are produced inside our body, and they motivate us or excite us to do certain things. That includes drinking water, eating food, and all these other actions that we do. They're all related to these chemical reactions that take place inside our body. So what do you do? There are certain measures, but this is where we differ from other animals, right? Allah the Almighty has given us a brain that we do not just follow whatever those hormones or those chemical reactions inside lead us. We do not just follow them blindly, but rather we see what is the right way to do it. Just a small example of that would be, you go outside, you're in a rest, you're in the market, or you're outside and you're fasting, you're hungry, one of those two things. You're fasting or you're hungry, and you pass by a shop which is selling jerk chicken. The smell of it is going to catch your, catch you. And you, even if you were had not realized that you were fasting, that reaction that will happen inside you will make you will say to you that you are hungry, right? Again, now, because in that time, let's say you do not have the money, right? And you're hungry, you're not fasting, but you do not have the money to go and buy those things. So in those moments, you have to remind yourself that stealing or just taking it without permission is not an option. That you know that because you're a human, Allah has not just given you this chemistry, but has also given you this other part which guides you, also part of our physical body, which guides us to balance between the right and wrongs. So that is something that helps us maintain our food and all these things, and we take them from the rightful manner, in the legal manner that Allah the Almighty has prescribed. And then there comes the other issue, which is in regards to the sexual desires, or these desires which are also natural for mankind. Both of these things, eating of food and water and having these physical relations, both of these things together, our survival of humans is dependent on these things. So both these things, Allah the Almighty has put certain enjoyment, certain pleasure in them. But then Allah still says that you should not just go out and behave like all the animals, but rather use them in the right manner as is expected from you. And if you do that, you will draw closer to me. So now when you have these two, both these again, there's many other things within our body, many other types of desires, but these two basic ones. Now what happens is, when, as they're natural, as they're important to our human survival, the food one being the priority, our body is able to make distinction that what is more priority in a particular moment. If somebody cannot get married and this person starts to fast and abstains from eating randomly and at all times, or overeating and observes fasting, he's able to suppress his other desires because his body first says that this is what you require more urgently. So this is something, again, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is describing it in a very ordinary, in a way that we can all understand. But it goes back to what the scientists explain this today in different ways. That is much, we understand it today, but this was explained by Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the Holy Quran in many, many different ways in the Holy Quran, as well as in the Ahadith, as I've just quoted. So again, this was just something I briefly wanted to touch upon it. But fasting contains so much benefit spiritually, physically, emotionally, socially, that if we observe fasting, as Allah the Almighty says in that verse that I quoted, chapter 2, verse 185, that if you fast, or fasting, rather it says, wa antasumu, and fasting, khairul lakum, is good for you, in kuntum ta'lamun, if you only knew. Fasting is good for you if you only knew. So 1400 years ago, maybe we knew very little that, okay, God said fast, it will make you come closer to me. So we start fasting based on that principle alone. But as the time is progressing, more and more reasons are coming, scientifically or emotionally or socially, that we see that how fasting can help us, enhance our health, enhance our social behavior, enhance all these other things that we didn't know before. But our intention should, regardless of those things, should be that because Allah has said it, God has ordained it, we should observe fasting. So this was just a brief little message that I wanted to share with all of us on the topic of blessings of fasting. One particular point that I wanted to mention in the beginning was that if you notice around the world, around the globe, fasting has been, even though prescribed in all the religions of the world, all the major religions, but the way it is practiced in Islam today, you don't see it in any other religion. We even, in Jamaica, we see Christianity and among Christians, some of them observe Lent, they observe fasting, but many of them barely even have anything to do with food or water or anything. Sometimes they will say that I am not using phones while I'm fasting. I'm not using social media. I'm not using Facebook. I'm not doing so and so. And this is what my fasting is like. Fasting is much more than that. Just learn it from the prophets, how did they fast? At least try to be close to them and look at what our scriptures want from us. That is what real fasting is, right? With fasting, you can do wonders, you can do miracles, but you have to observe fasting in the right manner. Even in the Christian world today, if you look around the world, very few people observe fasting. I mean, we're in Jamaica, still we see some elements of some, very little, but some elements of fasting among people, or at least they know that this is a period of Lent. And then they have certain, some people that are more spiritual, more religious, try to observe it. But if you go to certain other countries like US and Canada or Germany or whatever, over there, if you speak about fasting in Christianity, people would know less about, I'm talking about people, not Muslims, I'm talking about Christians, but they would know less about fasting in Christianity than Ramadan, because Muslims observe their fasting and take it seriously. So this is important to understand that in Islam, we still observe fasting as it was prescribed. But then again, we should remember that there are some people that take fasting to certain degree among Muslims. That is an extremist measure. What they do is that, for example, they will make small children start to observe fasting. Allah the Almighty exempts them from fasting. Allah the Almighty exempts women that are pregnant. Allah the Almighty exempts women that are breastfeeding. Allah the Almighty exempts women that are menstruating. Allah the Almighty accepts all men, women who are traveling, who are on a journey or anything, that can put certain stress on our body. Allah the Almighty has already said that such people should not observe fasting for the time that they're in that state, in that condition. So Allah the Almighty has given the easy, the convenient way that you fast, where it is good for you and you can draw a lot of benefits, but you do not go to the other extreme where, as some Muslims, they do that today. So we have to find the balance. And that is why, in our community, in the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, because of the coming of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, and Khilafat, we're able to understand that middle ground, that what is that middle ground? If you go to countries like some of the Muslim countries in the world today, in Ramadan, you have to understand that there's in a society, not everybody is fasting and not everybody is expected to fast, as I just gave so many examples. But in some of the countries, selling food on the street is forbidden during the month of Ramadan, or opening restaurants is forbidden, it's illegal, or a mob will come and attack you, and these things. These are the extremist views because there's nobody to guide them and they've gone too far. So we should not become like them who become extremists, but we take it seriously and we observe fasting as Allah the Almighty has prescribed for us. And we should not go to the other extreme either, where people leave it completely, as we see it in the faith of majority of, in Christian denominations, that fasting is gone. We should not become like them either, or those Muslims that even though they are Muslims, but they don't follow these practices, even if they may be few. We need to stay on that middle ground, and that middle ground has been revised and re-established by the promised Messiah alayhi salam and his khalifas in this day and age. You see, when we talk about these extremes, Allah wants us to walk the middle path. You read about it in the Bible as well. In the Old Testament, it was prescribed that on the day of Sabbath, you do not indulge in any business transactions and things like that. Now, when the time of Jesus, peace be upon him, came, people became so strict in observing Sabbath that even if somebody was dying, they would let him die because they say they would be observing Sabbath. And he said that, no, this is not how it is supposed to be. If somebody is dying, if a sheep or if your animal falls into a pit, wouldn't you grab it? If your child falls into a pit, into a well, wouldn't you grab him out? Or would you say that today is Sabbath, so we're not indulging in those things? Now, this is he gave the middle ground that this is what you need to do. But now what's happening is that people took that to the other extreme and they stopped observing Sabbath completely. Even though it was prescribed to those people, children of Israel, not the whole world, but to those people. So this is where sometimes the middle ground is hard to find, especially when you don't have somebody that can guide you. And in our community, by the grace of Allah and the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, through the coming of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, who Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had foretold, we are able to find that middle ground and stick to it. So this is important to understand, that even when it comes to fasting, it's we have to, you know, fast ourselves, but still keep in mind where Allah has given us exemptions, has given us exceptions, that you do not have to fast at this time or should not fast at this time. We should not. We must not. Rather, we take that room that Allah gives us, and we you know, later on, if Allah gives us health after Ramadan, we catch up on those fasts. So again, there is much to be spoken, much to be covered on this subject. But inshallah, in another time, at another time, in another dars or lecture, we will cover that. So jazakallah again to all of you for being here. Inshallah, until Sunday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Muhammadur Rasul.